Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It is wonderful to be with you all on this Christmas Eve. I love Christmas Eve. I love the joy, the anticipation, the excitement. I love that we've made it to Christmas Eve. And as I've gotten older, Christmas has become full of exhaustion. Anyone else in the room feel exhausted? But we're here at Christmas, and I am grateful to worship and to celebrate with you. I was reflecting this week as I was preparing for this message on some of the elements that are consistent throughout the Christmas season every single year. Some of those elements that I think all of us interact with or we participate in are some of the basic building blocks of the Christmas season. So things like Christmas trees, real ones or fake ones. Raise your hand if you have a real Christmas tree in your home or your condo. Now raise your hand if you have a fake one. I'm not going to tell you what I prefer because I love you all, okay? But it's a real one, okay? Well, let's keep moving. Christmas lights, some of you decorate inside on the balcony, your house. There's Christmas parties. I mean, it's like party after party all the time. There's so many different invitations. There's Christmas music. Some of you listen to Christmas music way too long. For months and months, I start, as I've told you, Black Friday. That's the beginning of Christmas music. And if you want to know the best Christmas album of all time, ready? It's the Cascade Christmas album. No one here has heard it, or else you would go, woo, you would do that, because it's the best. When you go home for your Christmas dinner, look up Cascade with a K, Christmas album, the best, phenomenal. All of these elements, the lights, the parties, the music, the gifts, some of you have been thinking and you're excited to give gifts this evening or tomorrow to loved ones. These things are basic building blocks of the Christmas season. We interact with them, we participate in them. There's also other aspects of Christmas too, but they're more internal elements. They're not necessarily the things that we erect or put in our house or the things that we give or enjoy, but they're things that we feel during the Christmas season. For some of us, that is joy and anticipation. There's thoughtfulness as we're thinking about the right gift to give to different people. There's excitement for the Christmas dinner and gathering together with friends and family members. For some of us, Christmas is a season of sadness. It can be a season that's heavy and difficult for many, and we have to acknowledge that and be mindful of that. But one element of Christmas that I think is consistent across all people, but it's experienced in different ways and to different degrees at different times. And that is this. It is the feeling of waiting. Waiting. In fact, the word Advent means waiting. It is the coming of Christ. The Advent season, the four Sundays before Christmas Eve, are the four Sundays that we are waiting for the celebration of Jesus's birth, which we are celebrating this evening. And so the Christmas season, the Advent season, is a season of waiting. Now, you really feel this when you're a child and it's Christmas time. You are waiting for Christmas Day. You are waiting for Santa to come, for the presents to arrive. You've written the list. You've sent it out. You cannot wait until you are counting down the days until Christmas. You're waiting, full of excitement. I think that's why they invented the Advent calendar. It's for parents so that we don't have to answer how many days till Christmas, so they themselves can count it down throughout the Advent season. It's a season of waiting. Now, I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, I was always excited about Christmas. I was full of anticipation. I could not wait. If I had the ability to fast forward through the whole season and just get to Christmas, I would do it. But time slowed down, my anticipation and my need to just get to Christmas Day stopped on Christmas Eve, on this day. I was still full of energy and full of excitement, as maybe your children are, maybe you are as well, but for some reason on Christmas Eve, you can wait. Why? Because it's only a few hours until Christmas Day. It's only a few hours, maybe, until you open presents on Christmas Eve, because you're there. You're right before the end of the waiting period, and so it's way easier to wait, full of hope and full of joy and full of excitement, on the eve before the thing that you're anticipating. It's way easier to slow down and not need to fast forward and be full of joy and full of hope on the eve before the thing that you are anticipating. The problem is this. Most of our life, or a lot of our life, is characterized by moments and seasons of waiting. We are waiting for blessings. We are waiting for promises. We are waiting for prayer requests to be fulfilled. And yet, we'd have no known Eve. That's the title of the sermon. It is waiting with no known Eve. Certainly, there is an Eve. There is a day before the fulfillment of whatever desire or request that we have. But we don't know it. And so we are waiting with no specified date, with no year, with no day, with no month, and that makes waiting very difficult. That's going to be the topic that we're going to jump into this evening, where we look at a story in Luke chapter 2. Luke is a gospel in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me, no worries. Luke chapter 2, we arrive at this story that is often skipped past or maybe not brought into the Christmas season, and that is because Jesus has already been born. This is not the story of Jesus in the manger. We have covered that with the shepherds and the angels and the wise men. We've been going through the story of Jesus' birth the past 4 weeks. This story takes place sometime after Jesus has been born. He's still a baby, but he's being presented in Jerusalem to the temple, to God. And that's because in the first century, in Jewish culture, when a baby was born, there was a flow of events that a family was expected to go through. Here's the flow of events. When the baby was born, if it was a male, the child would be circumcised at 8 days. And then after that, the child would be named, boy or girl. There would be this naming ceremony because names mean something. Then there would be this kind of ritual purification for health and wellness for the family. And then you would get to the very last stage. And that was the presentation and consecration of the child. So here's what that means. Families would take the child and they would present them to God and consecrate them to God. They would devote them to God. They would dedicate them to God. They would say, God, this is your child. Would you bless this child? Would you care for this child? Would you be faithful to this child? We are going to raise this child to fear you and to know you and to love you. It was this presentation and consecration. This is where we are at. So Mary and Joseph are in Jerusalem. Jesus is a baby, and he's at the last stage. He is at the presentation and consecration of Jesus in the temple. We pick up the story with this person by the name of Simeon, who is the person who has been waiting for a long, long time. Verse 25 in Luke chapter 2 says the following. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. So there's a few things. Let's pause there. Simeon is in Jerusalem, and he's associated with the temple. Now, he's not a priest. We don't know if he had any formal role or responsibility in the temple. All we know is that he's in Jerusalem, he's staying there, and he is associated on some level with the temple. Like, he's there all the time. And it says that he's waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. He's waiting not just for his own comfort, but for the comfort of God's people. He's waiting for God to reveal something, some type of comfort that is not just for him, but is for all of God's people. And he's not waiting just with a wish or a hope. He's waiting with a promise. It says that the Holy Spirit is on him. So he's in God's house, the temple, and he's waiting for the comfort of God's people. And the Holy Spirit is upon him, confirming that he is waiting for God to reveal something. What is it that God is going to reveal? Well, he knows because he's been told what the promise is. It's verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he is in Jerusalem. He's associated with the temple. He is waiting for the comfort, not just for himself, but for all of God's people. And that comfort is the arrival of the Messiah. It is the Savior who has come, the one that has been prophesied for thousands of years that all of God's people are waiting for. He is there, and he has been told by the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he with his own eyes sees the Savior, the Messiah. And so he's waiting. That's all he's been told. He has no specific date. He doesn't know the year, the month. He's just in Jerusalem, in the temple, in God's house, waiting for God to comfort him and his people so that he can see the Savior who has been promised. And so he waits. Now, you have to understand something that's happening in the context here that makes you understand how it feels for him to wait. God has been silent for 400 years. There's been no prophets. There's been no grand revelation. God's people feel abandoned. They feel like God has forgotten them because there's been no prophets. There's been no messages. There's been no revelations. Now, we know that God has been speaking to individuals. He spoke to Elizabeth and to Mary and to Joseph. He spoke to the shepherds through the angels. Angels are messengers of God. And now here, God speaks to Simeon. As the Holy Spirit gives him this message in his soul that he will not die until he sees the Savior. And so he waits. Now I want you to see how that would feel for Simeon. He has to be amazed, first off, that God would speak to him and give him this message. And certainly he went and told people. He went and told people about what God has told him, that, hey, I am not going to die until I see the Savior. How do you think his friends responded? Simeon, you need to tone it down on the imagination. God has not sent a prophet. God has not revealed anything. You think that he just came to you and told you that you would not die until you would see the Messiah. And he's like, yes. It had to have been so discouraging. He's viewed here in the text as he's just kind of isolated. He's kind of by himself, just waiting alone. But he's waiting in faith. He's believing that what the Holy Spirit has told him is going to come true. It's why Luke gives us a description about who he is. He says, Simeon is devout and righteous. He waited in faith. It wasn't easy. He wasn't supported, but he waited in faith. And then one day, look what happens. Verse 27 and following. Moved by the Spirit. See how he's being, the Spirit is on him. The Spirit reveals to him. The Spirit moves him. He went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was custom of the law required, presentation, the consecration, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Like, I can die. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. And the glory of your people, Israel. Wow. So Simeon is just waiting, and he's waiting. And the Holy Spirit, who is upon him, who has revealed to him this message that he will not die until he sees the Messiah, the Holy Spirit moves in him and stirs him to go to the temple. So he goes to the temple, and he sees this family with this baby. And he just knows this is the Messiah. This is the one that I've been waiting for. This is the one that has been promised to me. And then he sings this song. It's really a song. Sovereign Lord, you have promised this. I may die. I have seen the one who is salvation for all nations. Notice, it's not just a comfort for Israel. It's not just a comfort for God's people in the land. It is God's salvation and comfort for all people. He is a light for everyone. And he just happened to be there in the right place at the right time. Isn't it true that when God answers prayers and when he moves in our life, somehow we just happen to be in the right place at the right time? God does the same thing for Simeon, and he moves in him to this right place and right time of God's choosing, and Simeon takes hold of the promise he's been waiting for, which is to see the Savior. He probably didn't imagine it was a child, and yet it is a child, and he holds this baby who is Jesus, and he praises God because his waiting is over, and God was faithful to his promises. You know, our world is so busy. It is so busy, right? We are always moving from one thing to the next thing. We are always occupied. We struggle with waiting. Does anyone else here in the room struggle with waiting? I remember when I used to be able to wait in line just like this. Just look around and wait. When is the last time you've been in a bank line, a grocery line, any line for that matter, and you did not reach in your pocket and pull out your phone? We can't wait. Like, if you go to a movie theater, we don't even get to look at the previews because we're on our phone until the movie starts. Like, we don't know how to wait anymore. We struggle to wait. We have to be occupied. We have to be moving. We have to be, you know, taking in more information and moving on to the next thing. We got to be pushing forward. We struggle to wait. I remember when I was a kid going to theme parks, and I used to be so grateful for the rides that had, like, the themed lines, you know, because you'd be waiting for 2 hours, and you're like, you want to be occupied because you're waiting forever. Now, everyone's on their phone, like, getting the next fast pass for the next ride, doing TikTok dances in the line. You know, it's unbelievable, guys. We can't wait. We struggle to wait. We have failed to learn how to wait. And so because of this, here's what's happened. We really struggle to imagine that hope can be cultivated in waiting. We really struggle to imagine that you could actually be full of hope and full of joy and full of peace and full of contentment while you wait. Because waiting is something to avoid. It is something to fix. It is something to end. How can you hope and be at peace and content when you're waiting? I want you to consider Simeon again. He's in a time when everyone around him does not believe that God is speaking to his people. And yet God has told him this message. The Holy Spirit has pressed this message upon his heart that he will not die until he sees the Savior. And he waits with no specific time. He has no known Eve. He has no idea when it's going to happen. He just waits year after year after year after year. He waits on God. He wakes up every single day, probably thinking, will today be the day? Especially as he's getting older in age. Could you imagine? He's like, God, you promised me I'm going to see the Savior before I die. Is it today? When is it happening, God? And yet he waits in faith. He holds to this promise. What are you waiting for? What are those things that jump into your mind when you wake up and you say, God, will today be the day? Will today be the day that you answer this? Will today be the day that this happens? Will today be the day that that request that I've been praying for years comes true? Maybe it's an answer in your career. Maybe it is a relationship that you're praying would be manifest or one that's restored. Maybe it is the healing of your heart or your mind. Maybe it is clarity on your future. Maybe it is victory over a struggle or a difficulty. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Now, like Simeon, God has given you promises. I pulled out some of the promises that I hold to, and I wrote them in my own words. These come from Scripture, and these are not just promises for me. These are promises for you. These are things that God says to you. Ready? Here's what God's promises say. He has plans for your future. He is working everything for good. He is with you when you pass through troubled waters. He will guide you through the valleys of life. He will give you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in him. He will make your joy full and complete. I could keep going. But I think with just these truths, these promises given to you, God has a future for you. He's working everything for good. He is with you when you go through troubled waters and the valleys of life. That he will give you the desires of your heart when you delight in him. That he will make your joy full and complete. That most of the things that we're waiting for can be connected to those promises. We are waiting for God to either fulfill a promise, to bring a blessing down into our life that we've been asking for or praying for, or we've been waiting for God to give us clarity on how in the world is the season that I'm going through for good. I can't imagine it, God. We are waiting for clarity. We are waiting for understanding. We are waiting for fulfillment. We have these promises, but God doesn't give us a date. He doesn't give us a time. He doesn't give us a season. He calls us to believe them, to trust them, and to wait on him. Just like Simeon. Now, how did Simeon wait in faith full of hope? How? The key is found in what he says, what Luke says about Simeon. He says that he is devout and righteous. Now, what that does not mean is that Simeon is somehow spiritually superior and theologically above everybody else. It does not mean that. That he is somehow just so far above everybody else, all of us, that he's just capable of waiting, unlike us. No. Devout and righteous. He is devout. So who is he devoted to? God. He is righteous, meaning he is following and trusting after God who he is devoted to. Here's what that means. Simeon was devoted to the person who created the plan rather than the plan itself. Simeon was devoted to the person who created the plan, God himself, rather than the plan itself. Here is a key question to ask yourself when you're in a season of waiting. Ready? What is of more value and worth to me? Is it a great God or a good plan? What is of more value and more worth? Is it the good plan that God promises he has for my life? Or is it God himself who is great? You see, there is a great God who has a good plan for you, but he calls you to wait. And the struggle that we have is that we don't want to wait. And so we take matters into our own hands. We try to force the issue. We think that God has forgotten us or he's abandoned us because he's not on our timetable. But we have to ask the same kind of question that I'm sure Simeon wrestled with. Is my faith in the fulfillment of the plan that God has given me, or is my faith in the one who created the plan? Do you see that? Is my faith in the fulfillment of the plan, or is my faith in the one who created the plan? Here is why waiting is so burdensome and so hard and so difficult. Ready? Because we are waiting for our waiting to be over. That's why it's so hard. We are waiting for our waiting to be over because sometimes we can get it confused and our faith can be in God providing and fulfilling the plan he has instead of our faith being in God himself who gave the plan. Simeon is devoted to God. He's not devoted to God on his timetable. He knows God will be faithful. He knows God will answer. And so he waits years and years and years and years. He waits because he's devoted to the one who created the plan, not the plan itself. He's devoted to God. I want you to notice the emphasis here. I've been mentioning it on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on Simeon. It revealed to Simeon this promise, and the Holy Spirit moved Simeon to the temple. See, Simeon was relying on the Spirit. There are no accidents in Scripture. I do not believe that it's an accident that the Holy Spirit moved Simeon into the temple for the fulfillment of the promise, which is to see the Messiah before he dies. What is the temple? The temple is the axis between heaven and earth. The temple was the place where the divine and human interacted. It was the place that God's presence was mightily found. God dwelled in the temple, and his people came from all over to worship in the temple, to be before the presence of God. That's what the temple represented. And so the Spirit was upon him. He reveals this message to Simeon, and then the Spirit moves Simeon into the presence of God, before God's presence, where the promise is fulfilled, and he sees Jesus and praises God. Maybe you've heard it before that you are to wait on the Lord. Maybe someone said that to you before. Hey, just wait on the Lord. Amen. Wait on the Lord. But here's a question. How do I wait on the Lord? We see it here in the example of Simeon. You wait on the Lord by waiting with the Lord in his presence. As the Holy Spirit moves you and is upon you and reveals to you. The key to waiting full of faith and hope, the key to waiting with peace and contentment is to wait with God. Sometimes we wait by ourselves. We try to wait on our own timetable. We try to manufacture things ourselves. And yet the example in Scripture is that we are to wait on the Lord, on him to fulfill his promises by waiting with him. We wait with him. And my friends, this is the gift of Christmas. Ready? The gift of Christmas is this. Jesus, who was born to save, who was born to save you and me, whose grace is upon us, whose life was destined to end in Easter, where he was crucified for our sin and our shame and our guilt and was buried and was resurrected on the third day so that anyone who believes in faith might receive the forgiveness of God. That is God's grace to us. This is why Jesus was born. This is the greatest gift in the whole world, Christ himself. He is the access between heaven and earth. He is perfectly divine and perfectly human. And here's what Jesus did. This is why Christmas is such a gift. You do not have to go to a physical structure to come before the presence of God. Jesus broke the boundaries of God's presence being confined to a physical structure to now God's presence is found in God's spiritual people. He is found in you. You can run to the presence of God at any moment. The Holy Spirit moves you into the presence of God. He speaks to you. He reveals to you. He's upon you. And he pushes you into the presence of God so that you can wait on the Lord by waiting with him. When you are in a season of waiting, when you are thinking about the things that you've been asking God to fulfill, the blessings that you've been clinging to and desiring, the prayers of your heart, do not wait in your own strength. Wait like Simeon. Run to the presence of God. Listen to the voice of the Spirit and wait on the Lord by waiting with the Lord. Here's how we should think about our waiting. Ready? Because the example that Simeon gives is unbelievable. It's this. I am not waiting for God to prove his faithfulness and goodness to me. Rather, like Simeon, when that promise is revealed and he sees Jesus, what does he do? He holds Jesus, salvation for all people, and he praises God. So rather, I'm not waiting, God, for you to prove that you're faithful. I'm not waiting, God, for you to prove that you're good. I am waiting for another reason to praise you, God, because you are faithful and you are good. God, I'm waiting. And that's why I can wait, because I'm not waiting for you to prove anything to me. God, you have already proved everything to me in Christ, in his death and resurrection, in his birth for me. You have already proved everything. I'm just waiting for another reason to praise you, another reason to tell the world of how good you are and how faithful you are. See, it is shifting our focus from then, from that time that our waiting will be over, to now. Here's how I was thinking about it this week. Yes, God, you have this for me then. I don't know when. I don't know when the eve of the fulfillment of that desire or that prayer or that need or that thing that I'm bringing to you is. I don't know when then is, but I have you now. And so I can wait with you, God. I'm not waiting for the fulfillment of a plan. I just want to praise and be before the one who created the plan. God, I'm devoted to you, not because of what you can do for me, but because of what you've already done for me in Jesus. This is the message of Christmas, friends. Is that God loves you so much that he was born to save you. That he took on flesh, born as a child to identify with you in our lowly estate. And yet in his perfection, he goes to the cross for you and me so that we don't have to earn God's favor. You can never be good enough for God. I can never be good enough for God. I will always fail at that measure. And yet Christmas reminds us that we have Jesus. And so we can go to the presence of God. We can find the forgiveness, the love, the peace, the mercy of God by going to him in our time of need, full of faith. That's how we wait, friends. We wait with God full of faith because of Jesus and what he has done. So my prayer for you is this, that on this Christmas Eve and tomorrow on Christmas Day, is that as you experience all the blessings of your life, all the things that you have to be grateful for, or maybe as God brings to mind the things that you're waiting for, instead of lamenting, instead of feeling like God has forgotten you, would you let Christmas remind you that God loves you and he's for you and he's here? That's why Jesus was born. And that you can wait on the Lord by waiting with the Lord. Amen.